This is Pastor Jeff Chavis, the pastor of Church Online, an online community of faith at churchonline.com. But we spell that uniquely CHRCH because we say all that's missing is you. churchonline.com. This morning, I am thinking about something that I was reminded of earlier this week. I don't know if you're familiar with this Bible study, but there's a very famous Bible study by a pastor named Henry Blackaby. He went home to be with the Lord about a year or so ago. And he did this incredible Bible study called Experiencing God. And the premise behind experiencing God is obviously, as the name suggests, that we want to experience God at work in our lives. And we all want that. But there's one main principle in the book, again, that I've taught the series before, but it just came back in an email, just reminding me of this principle. The principle is very simply that we want to see where God is at work and join him in it. Now, it seems really obvious, doesn't it? We look for where God is working and we get involved in whatever that looks like. But most of us, if we were honest, we have that tendency to decide what we're going to do for God. You know, here's my gifts, my skills, my abilities, my talents, and this thing would be really good to do for God. He would be pleased with this. Instead of the other way around, looking and seeing where he's at work. And if you've experienced that, and I've experienced that, those times when we sort of step ahead and decide what we're going to do for him, we recognize that that never really works out. We have to look for where he's already doing things. Now, biblically, the principle comes to us in John chapter 5, verse 19, which I'll read in a moment, but I want to put that verse into its context. That's always so critical when we look at a Bible verse is what's the context? How is Jesus saying this? What's it about? Well, at this point in time, in John chapter 15, Jesus is already starting to upset the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the local Jewish leaders. And one of the things that they really have a problem with is Jesus' healing and teaching and doing things on the Sabbath day. Now, that was a big deal to the Jews in the first century. In fact, there were Jewish rabbis of the day that said you shouldn't even pray for sick people on the Sabbath day because that's like working. They were that serious about the Sabbath day. So Jesus comes along and starts healing on the Sabbath day, and that really ruffles their feathers. And verse 16, John chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus gives them his reasoning. It says, John chapter 5, verse 16, "For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.'" Jesus' understanding, Jesus' rationale is that God is at work. And that's step one in this understanding as well, is to recognize that God is always at work. That may seem, again, really obvious, but sometimes we have the tendency not to be reminded of that. We think about God's work as being maybe that finished work that he did in creation, the finished work of Jesus on the cross. But Jesus' own words, God is working. He's been always working. So I also am working. Then this continues on, verse 18. "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because not only he broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making him equal with God." Those words are the words that are ultimately going to be called blasphemy and get him placed on that cross. In other words, the Jewish leaders saw Jesus calling God his Father as being equal to God, which, of course, we recognize Jesus was, but they didn't see it that way. They're thinking, how dare he say those words? But then verse 19 is the key now. "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner.'" See, that was Jesus' way. Looking, seeing what God is at work doing and get involved in it. That's the principle that Henry Blackaby laid out. That's Jesus's words here in John 5:19. And if we're going to be followers of Jesus, that really should be our way as well. Well, how do we do that? First, how do we understand that God is at work? Yes, we've got to accept that. But how do I see it? Well, first and foremost, we ask him. Ask him wherever we're going today. Lord, show me where you're at work. Maybe we're going on the job. Maybe we're going to the store. Maybe we're just hanging around the house. But Lord, show me where you're at work in my family, in my community, in my neighborhood. Show me where you're at work. So that's step number one, ask him. Step number two is, well, you have to know what his work looks like. And his work looks like what he's done in the scripture. God's work is always lining up with what he has done. Now, he doesn't do everything the same. We're not going to see, walk down the street and see burning bushes. That was Moses' thing. But the way God has worked in the past is similar to the way he's going to be working today. And remember, God's work always involves people. He's not concerned with projects, and he's not concerned with our plans and all the things that we have going, and property and all profits, you know, all of those things. That's not what God is concerned about. God is always at work, and it has to do with people. Now, sometimes it's God at work connecting people together. We see that so often in scripture, this person finding that person. Sometimes it's God giving a message to a person for some other group of people. For example, the prophets getting the word of God to go to the people of God. Sometimes that's how God's at work. But being mindful of how God worked helps us to be able to see where he is currently working. And then the other part of the story is, when we are looking for God at work, remember, there are no coincidences with God. Oh, coincidentally, this happened to happen. No, this is God's hand at work. So when you recognize those things and it seems like, oh, this is just an interesting coincidence, maybe, possibly, this is God at work. So then we remember those words. We see where he is at work, and we get involved in it. That's one of the greatest ways we can experience God. So I want to challenge you this day. Again, remember those steps. Ask him. Ask him to show you where he is at work. Number two, be mindful of his word and the ways he has worked. It's always going to line up with his word, but also it's going to follow the patterns that we see in his word. And also, his work is always going to have to do with people. He's not concerned about all the stuff we're concerned about. He's concerned about people.